This is RAF with Tony Tone and LA.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy LA, aka the Love Ambassador, coming to you straight live and direct from the Jungle Studios. And of course, joining me on this wonderful journey of podcasting through the universe of ups and downs comes to you the one and only, the infamous, the famous, Mr. Philly. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How's your weekend so far?
It was a bit sick yesterday, to be honest. So, kind of out of it, but, Yeah, pretty chilled, man. Pretty chilled.
There's something going around. I see a lot of people getting sick these past week.
Yeah, I think actually I might have even picked up from when I was in Singapore, buddy. It's just some stomach bug thing. So,
stomach, no, but I see a lot of people with sore throats.
Oh, yeah, that's just. It's probably going to be another round of so-called COVID and then lockdowns before US elections. But anyway, before we go down the doomsday path, I read a very interesting article today, well, last couple of days. And it says in Australia, they reckon that around 45% or around 9.4 million people have less than $1,000 in their savings account.
Okay.
And I read somewhere else that I think it's about a quarter of people have less than $200.
Jeez.
So I find this absolutely flabbergasting because it's like, you know, you pop a tire on your car or, you know, you get sick or, you know, you the car insurance is like due or house insurance is due or, you know.
Yeah.
It's like your mum's 50th or, you know, something like that. That's just mind blowing. That just goes to show that, like, so then I was trying to figure out how people are actually living. I guess it's paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
I was having a chat to my mum about it, and she says basically it's just people just max their credit cards out and don't even hardly kind of pay it off, you know. But I think there's a similar thing going on in America as well, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now we have the big one in the U.S. is the buy now, pay later is the big thing taking off now. So,
you know, actually, that was the Australian company set that up, and then it was bought by Square or whatever, the guy that started Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
For like billions of dollars. Yeah, because they actually, my mum's like Rick and what bridge buddy. It was one of her sons was actually involved initially in setting it up. I forgot what it was, PayPal or something like that. And yeah, it was just like the you buy now and then you pay it in like installments sort of thing. It's like the old lay-bys used to be back at the department stores. But I mean, it kind of makes sense, I guess, right? It's just that people are just, but that it's just absolutely mind blowing. Because how are people just still going so hard on consumption?
In the U.S., it's 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck.
Jesus.
Which was an increase from the previous year of 6%. More than three quarters of Americans struggle to save or invest after paying for their monthly expenses. But, you know, that could also be just people are stupid with money because they just don't know how to handle it. But, yeah, something is going to burst here because it's the amount of, like, individual household debt, credit card debt, buy now, pay later, which is actually probably worse than using a credit card, even though they're both pretty shit.
Well, credit cards are high interest rates, which makes it hard, you know. That's the killer of the credit card.
The buy now, pay later is... Yeah, yeah, dude, that's not like a free thing. They get you with that. You don't realize, but then they start jacking up the payments that you have to make. If you can't make the payment, right? If you're like, I buy it now and I'll do like... $28, $28, $28. But if you miss those $28 payments, it's almost the same thing as a credit card, except it doesn't really hit your expenses until later. Right? It's like one month later.
I guess that's why for me, it's why I get so everyone's like, why do you get so fired up on politics and like why do you watch Parliament and like why are you like constantly angry?
Yeah.
And it's for that very reason. It's because, like, I understand it, and, you know, I'm in a position where, you know, my family's done well as migrants and everything like that, you know. So even in worst case scenario, if I lose my job, you know, touch wood, God forbid, you know, I kind of have something to fall back on at least, right? And I've sort of saved, I've saved money as I go along with whatever work that I've done. But, I mean, the implications for sort of working class people that don't have that, it's ridiculous. And then that's why it's so annoying, because all, a lot of the policies that they pass is making it harder for these people. Like, they come out and say the power bill is going to be $200 cheaper. They're not. You know, they come out and say that the tax, they're going to give people a tax deduction of $15 a week for the poorest people, but then they hit them with an extra fuel excise, an extra alcohol tax, you know. And it's like, how long can these sort of social payments continue for when you've got, I think it's like 10% of Australia pays like the majority of the tax, and it's like 1% pays like, you know, 1% pays, you know, 20-25% of it. So I think that the issue for Australia is, and America is really going to be like, where are the people heading? And it's been interesting for me, because you really have, I've been sort of having to have discussions with people and, you know, just all walks of life. So from even strippers to bankers to stay-at-home dads and everything like that. And one thing that kind of really shines out is that no one's taught about financial security. Like, no one's taught about financial, how to save, what to invest in, what your implications are. And I think that's the main issue. There's two main issues here now. One is that the schools should actually teach kids how to save and interest rates and everything like that. Mm. And two, people need to understand what the government's actually doing for their back pocket. And this is a it's fundamental problems. Like, you know, I was literally having this discussion with a stripper a couple of days ago. She's like, I earned all this cash and I'll buy an investment property. And I was like, well, you know, have you looked at your returns and everything like that? And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you're saving money, right? Let's say you're earning good money doing your job. If you put it in the bank, then you're going to get interest and you're going to get savings. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, if you put 100 grand at the bank, they're going to give you 5%. So that's 105,000. If you go and buy a property, then you have to look at what the returns are on your $1 million investment. And she was like, yeah, you're kind of right. Like, the schools doesn't teach it. And I was talking to my other buddies and they were like, we didn't have our parents helping us out with this stuff. But no one understands basic finance and economics. And then they just go and watch and they're like, oh, well, you know, the Greens are saying stop gas and stop coal, and that's great for the climate. But they're not realizing, you know, A, what impact is that having on the environment and how useful is it? B, how effective is it? And then C, it's like, how are they going to pay for it? If you've only got $200 to $1,000 a week of savings, how are you going to fund a $2 trillion transition of the energy sector? Like, if you're going to redo your whole entire energy market and it's between $1.2 to $2 trillion to go fully green, how are you with $200,000 savings going to afford the extra bills to pay it? Because they'll be like, oh, but government will pay it. Well, no, because what's the government getting the finance off? It's your tax. So, of course, they're going to have to raise the taxes to pay for it, if anything. And people aren't even looking at it. Anyway, buddy, that's my little rant hole up.
Yeah. I mean, I reckon it's done on purpose, but then even in the same time, like, I 100% agree it's better for this stuff to be taught in school so they have a basic understanding. But then I also feel at the same time that if you're an average Joe and you're in the market, you're doing things, you're always the one that gets screwed anyway at the end of the day. Like, anytime the financial markets get disrupted or there's new regulation or all these things, the rich people always get away, no problem. It's always the everyday people who get absolutely creamed, right? Like, look at the 2008 financial collapse, like, completely led by the banks, 100% their fault. What happened to them? Nothing.
All got bailed out.
Yeah, nothing. But all the other people got absolutely fucked. All the other small-time investors, and then all the people with the big money, they don't care, right? They can just keep throwing money at things that fall in value. But the everyday average Joe guy, if something falls in value, that's probably all their money in that investment. It's not like they have other investments and diversified it. And it's so small money anyway when you're talking. I think it's good to know how the system works, just to know that it's sort of rigged against you. And then, yeah, in terms of policymaking, people should be at least cognizant of where all this money is coming from. And it doesn't make any sense. But they don't want people to know that, right? Because then they become under scrutiny more. But I think we've passed that bridge now. I don't really think it would even make a difference if you started teaching. Teaching the younger gen now is not going to fix the problems that we have. Like, we're pretty much... Like, the people who are a voting age are a voting age, and they're probably not going to change their mind if they take a financial course. Like the
Well, I think the problem is they're so indoctrinated with the whole what I would call left of politics that the world's going to end and that gender's more important than economy. I mean, then their concept of what's important, even if they do understand, is probably not there. But it's like everything in life, you know, the chicken always comes, you know. It always comes back to you, you know, like it always comes back. So they're all enjoying the benefits of what has been a prosperous capitalist society, right? And then now, once it all goes and it's no longer funding them to go march and yell for intifadas or whatever it is that they're doing, well, then they're going to experience true hardships. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting now because when they talk about cost of living standards in Australia, it's actually the Gen Z or whatever it is, like the younger people, that are really struggling. They struggle with rent, they struggle with paying, they struggle with income, they struggle with babies. And part of the reason why our inflation is quite stubborn is because the baby boomers are just like, oh, we're earning heaps of cash, and the younger people are a bunch of pricks, so we might as well just live it up.
I reckon it's all done on purpose.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Opinion. Let's pivot to another thing, right? Mm. Which is this Donald Trump in New York with his $473 million bond that he's got to put up, which apparently now he's saying that he doesn't have cash and that the New York, whatever it is threatening to seize assets. So one thing I don't know and I'd have to look into is if you freeze the asset, can you sell it like straight away or do you need a hold? And the second thing is, do you know the answer to it?
Well, first he came out a couple of days ago saying he does have the cash. So everyone's a bit confused now. But then on the other end, the question is they can only seize his personal assets. I would be very surprised if a lot of these buildings and everything are under his personal name.
No, you think
it's probably under a company name that he's a shareholder in, that his kids are also share. Like, it's going to be stuff that isn't like, it's going to be like an LLC kind of deal, right? Like, yeah, you know, you can sue me for my stuff, but you can't touch the stuff that's in the LLC that I own. There's like, I don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, it's just a kangaroo court kind of thing. I don't think anything's really going to happen, and I don't know.
I think that regardless of what you think of Trump, I mean, you could be the person that hates him the most and say whatever words you want about it. But I think you need to take a step back, and this is what I say to a lot of people. You need to take a step back and think, well, this is a very dangerous precedent. Because you are supposedly a democracy, right, which you're trying to spread around the world. Mm-hmm. And a former president, of which you just have opposing views with, and that's fine, but you're weaponizing the justice system to basically do what the communists did and just seize assets and seize properties and essentially try to bankrupt him so he can't run. And therefore, there's no real alternative and Democrats win. And I think that no matter what people think of him, they really need to sort of stand up and say, no, this is unacceptable, because once this goes through so easily, it can apply to you in future. Like, if you think about it, if you're living in America and the president can have his assets seized, then what's to say that you're on Facebook or you're on social media or you're, you know, in a workplace and you say something and then next thing you know, they're like, oh, well, no, we don't agree with you. We'll take you to some sort of kangaroo court in New York and we'll seize your business or we'll seize your assets. And then what, to play devil's advocate, right? What happens if it goes from sort of left-leaning Democrats to a right-leaning Republican or it goes to the other side? And then the very things that you used to get rid of your enemy, they're now using against you. And I think this is something that people are so into their hatred of Trump that they're like, oh, just nail him to the wall and just shoot him and everything like that. It's like, no, it's you, first of all, we're not advocating that for legal purposes. But B, it's just like when it turns around, that could be you. But people don't see it that way. They're so caught up in this mania that, and then it comes back to what we're saying about the economy. People are so caught up in this mania of divided countries now that they're not focusing on all the laws that are being passed, which are just absolutely decimating them. And now we've established that none of them have any money to see this out.
Yeah, I don't know if they're thinking so far ahead, man. Look, I really don't know. I feel like all this stuff isn't actually serious. I feel like it's just all a show. And it's going to go the way they want it to go. And it's just going to rile up people the way they want them riled up. That's all it is. I mean, everybody who actually cares about it could tell that this was absolute BS in New York. And the judge is a creeper who likes to go around in gyms and like hit on young chicks. He looks like a creep. The chick was elected in New York just to get Trump under any circumstances possible. I mean, it's the whole thing is just a joke.
She had her own controversy as well, spending all the money with this bloke.
Yeah, don't worry. It'll never come out. But you just see what's happening, right? Is they hold one side to one standard and another side doesn't get held to the same standard. And I think they're just doing it on purpose to get everybody jacked up. Like, you're going to get one side, which the conservative side tends to be the more relaxed side, right? It's very rare they do anything. Like the whole Jan 6 thing was like, oh my God, like that never happens. They just don't care so much. The liberals and shit, because they don't work and they're all unemployed, they have the time to go do that stuff. That's why they're always protesting. That's why they're also breaking into the Capitol building. But then nothing happens to them. And I think they're just trying to.
Yeah, they broke in for the Palestine protests and literally seize the whole building and nothing happened.
Yeah. So I think they're just trying to find ways to get the other side equally agitated in the sense of if it doesn't go their way, there will be problems. And they want both sides to be at that point. And I think just the amount of hypocrisy flying right now, it's just so obvious that that's what they're trying to do. They're putting so many things in front of you where you just, if you're a conservative person and it's like, oh, you know, pro-Trump, not pro-Trump, and you just see what liberals do versus what conservatives do. I don't even want to say it that way. If you just say, you know, just certain people on one side versus the other side, and you see how they're being treated, it's eventually just going to tick you off more and more and more. You can't even keep track of everything. Like, you can't even keep track of everything that's happening anymore because it's just all such bullshit. And
it's an amazing self-destruction of prosperous societies.
No, but I think that's what they want. They want to start from a blank slate and they want to dictate what that slate is going to be like. And this is the way to do it. Dude, they've literally destroyed every pillar of society. Money is nothing. It's all fake. It has no value. They just print as they please. It's a joke.
$1.2 trillion they recently passed just to keep the lights on in Congress.
And it's not just us, right? It's every Western country that's doing this. The money isn't backed by anything, right? It's backed by the full faith and credit of whatever government. Like, who cares about your governments? Your governments are all scum. It's not like your money was backed by sound, you know, silver or gold or something that actually has tangible value, right? It doesn't have it. So your money's not actually worth anything. It's just all a fugazi. So they've completely taken that system and they've turned that into overdrive over the past like 3-4 years where now it's like it's really worth nothing and they're just printing galore like it's no big deal. Then we can't even answer what a woman is anymore. Now you've gotten to the point where the whole family unit's destroyed. People can't tell you what a woman is. So, I mean, normal people can, but you have a population of people that can't. They have trouble describing what a woman is. Like, gender is fluid. There's no rules. Love is love. It's completely destroyed the, even like the basic concepts of biology and our understanding as a society. Then on top of that, you have religion is gone, right? They don't want any type of religion that they think could be too strong in whatever country. So in most countries, the religion that is, you know, I would say Western countries was probably Christianity, right? You have groups of people who are Christian. They're not like Christians, I think, tend to be more forward thinking, but they still have certain values and morals that they'll apply to how they vote and what they see. So they go after you for that. They don't want that. So they destroy that as much as they can. I mean, just even look at the Catholic religion. Holy shit. If I was a Christian, I would be embarrassed to be Catholic. I would be embarrassed that your Pope is who he is.
Don't even get me started.
There's just so many things happening at the same time. And the only thing I can think of is they just want to fucking push the reset button and usher in whatever weird fucking system it is that they think is going to be better. There's not much anything anybody can do. I don't think Trump can fix it. I think the only way it can be fixed is if you have like 10 to 15 years of like hard right policy where you got like really like guys who like shut off from the world and they have to start teaching the kids all over again, getting the generations back, you know, back underfoot in terms of like just raising them to be decent citizens. Bring back law and order is another one. There's no law and order in half the states in the U.S. anymore. It's all a fucking joke.
Even in Australia, it's a joke now. I mean, we had blokes standing in the middle of our city saying that mothers should be so ecstatic that their kids are suicide bombers, and that you know we see mothers of the suicide bombers, and we say how lucky you are, and this is what we really want in the society. And the fucking cops are standing right next to them in the center of the CBD, doing nothing. Nothing. Like, I mean,
as long
I'm
as
sorry,
it's not
the
a
last
call
time,
to violence.
Last time, I checked calling for people to blow up innocent civilians, thought maybe that's on the edge of a hate crime and maybe you should tell them to shut up and move on. But no, they just stand there and just watch. So I don't know. And then, God forbid, you say you don't want a COVID vaccine, and then they'll beat the absolute shit out of you. So it's like,
that's the other one.
Where's the moral compass?
The medical industry.
Well, you've
got to
have the vaccine,
right?
But you could sort of like blow yourself up and just smithereens and take out innocent women and children.
Every pillar of society has been completely. Everything you need for a functioning society has been completely eroded. And the only reason you would do that is if you wanted to, you know, gross immigration, right? Pump it in to completely overwhelm the country system. I mean, these are all fixable.
That bloke
but
from Hezbollah that said he's literally coming to America to make a bomb.
But it's what they want. They can solve the problem. That's why I don't think they care that they're doing it. They know that it's easily solved. All of these things are easily solved. You just deport all these people. You start using the country's resources to support the country. You go back to sound money. You hold people accountable, but they don't want to do that. I don't know what they want. I don't know what their end goal is, but it's just scary to see that. I don't think it's communism either. I don't think it's communism. I really don't know what it is.
Socialist communism.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. Because there's easier ways to go about that, right? Because now what they've done is they've pretty much inflamed a whole portion of the population who want to be socialist communists. But at the same time, they didn't do it in a way where they, you know, it's the 21st century where you can slowly start pushing them. They don't have to wait that long, right? Once the older gens are gone, you've already sufficiently kind of went after the younger gen and got them on your side, a good amount of them. So there was a better way to do it to convince people. I don't think that's what they want. I think they wanted to convince some people that it was a good idea and that these people are bad because they don't want to do it. And I think they want to get the, say, people on the conservative, you know, I'm a constitutional republic supporter or a libertarian, and they get them all riled up against the other side. I don't think it's, if it was only one side trying to push like, hey, we're going to be the ones that are doing this, I would maybe agree with you if they were going about it in a different way. the fact that I just see them trying damn hard to rile up, say, the Trump side or the people who vote more conservative versus the liberal side, which is already, they don't have to do anything to rile them up anymore, right? They've riled them up. They have riled them up since 2008 onwards. They have gotten them sufficiently aggressive and angry and thinking they're all oppressed. Now they're working on the other side. Now after these two sides butt heads like crazy, you know, horrible immigration, medical system failures, maybe power outages, all these things, your whole life is turned upside down. Then what's going to happen? Then you can roll in with something new. I don't think they can roll in with say it's good if we do it. It's good if we do it how, say, the right wants it, and it's good how we do it as the left wants it, because the other side is always going to be there fighting you. I think they want to cause enough fucking mayhem that they're going to come with this new thing, and everybody is going to be like, oh, this isn't that bad of an idea. And everyone's going to get
well, also because no, also because no one has any savings or money, so they have no financial security. So they're kind of kiboshed. None of us either have way.
Do you have silver or gold?
Gold stock, not physical. Oh, a bit.
Then
tiny,
you have
tiny bit of physical.
Then you have zero security, zero.
Yeah.
The money is worth nothing. Stocks are, at the end of the day, numbers on a screen. They can just shut the system down. You log in the next day, it's gone. You complain. What are they going to do? Nope. No record of it. Sorry. Not there. You'll get wiped out in no time. This money is just number on a screen. It has no tangible value. And even if you have gold and silver, if you don't have any kind of weapon to protect it, it's also not worth anything either. There's been forced seizures of gold and silver in the past. The government needed money. They came around. They just took whatever you had. Nobody is safe. No, nobody, unless you're on an island and you've like bought a house and nobody knows you're out there and you just like quietly exist, then you're good. But if you're in a city or some suburb or something and you're expecting like, oh, I have 500 grand in the bank, I have 200 grand in the bank, I'll be okay. It's like, dude, the money's not worth anything. The only thing that's going to matter at that point, if it actually gets as bad as it gets, is going to be probably food, bullets, and maybe gold and silver for bartering. But that situation won't last long. I really think there will be a lot of like false flag stuff to make shit really bad. And then whoever is going to be the so-called savior will come in. And I don't know what new system they're going to build. It's definitely not going to be good. I would think it's going to be like some dystopian. I don't want to say like communist, but similar to it. Like a very...
big government run sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I don't know, like kind of like George Orwell's thing, but
yeah,
something like that is what they would want. They want to keep the low people in their place, which they're going to do through sports, entertainment, medicine, health. You're going to be too weak to fight back and too distracted. Then the people in the middle who are like the politicians now will have probably a slightly better quality of life. But then I reckon obviously the guys who pull the strings, you won't even know who they are anymore. Or it'll be like a V for Vendetta, that kind of thing, if you saw that movie.
Not was it?
It was something that took place. There was some horrible virus that went through the UK, and actually it turned out, actually quite funny. It turned out the virus was released by the political party that wanted to take over, and they were also the party that happened to, like, the leaders of the party happened to be the ones that invested in this company that made the cure. So then everybody like worshiped them because, oh my God, they saved us. They saved the kids. They stopped the pandemic. They voted them in. And then they became like an ultra nationalistic, like secret police state country. And the movie was like, the guy's name was V, was rebelling against this system because everybody was, you know, you had to watch government programming. You had curfew. You only consumed what they wanted you to consume. You had to have full loyalty to the party, like all these things, right? I'd say it was like a fascist communist system where people sort of just fell into the system and stayed there because there was so much chaos that was actually induced by this group of people, but they also conveniently had the solution to everything. It wasn't just the disease. It was, I think, also like they brought in radical immigrants, and then after they did that, they used them as scapegoats for all immigrants, right? So it became like it was a very nationalistic thing, but it united the people under that banner. But it wasn't natural, right? The amount of control. So eventually it fell apart. But That was the movie. It's a very good movie. It came out long ago, like 2000, early 2000s. Check it out. It's nice.
Sounds like an interesting film, man.
Yeah, now that we talk about it, I just remember there was that whole fucking thing about the escaped lab virus, and then they also came out and they're like, oh, we have the cure. And they made a shit ton of money off of it. And I'm like, well, where have we heard that before? Huh. Jesus.
So speaking of TV, I get a new phone every couple of years for work. And I've been watching this, just about to finish it, on Apple TV, Masters of the Air. Yeah. And it's about the bomber pilots of the 100th Squadron for the Americans. And it's just absolutely unbelievable. You know, like, we talk about where we are and sometimes it's frustrating and everything like that. And then you just see, like, these blokes, like, these young, they probably would have been, like, teenagers or early 20s or something like that. And just what they go through in those bombers, those flying fortresses, you know, like the flak and then the Messerschmitts, you know, attacking them and the bombing raids and like just absolute hell. And then just the losses. So there was this one guy who was like the only guy that came back out of multiple planes, you know. And it's just like you kind of watch that and then you think about, I guess, our grandparents' generation. And then you wonder, because you and I are probably like, we're the last that will have like a physical, at our age is the last to have a physical contact with, you know? Like, so for me, it was most of my, you know, my grandparents passed by the time I was sort of a late teenager sort of thing. So you had that long connection with it. But once that history goes, I think it's interesting because that's another thing that kind of needs to be taught. Like, we're here doing whatever we want, but then you just watch what these people go through for freedom. And in a way, it kind of gives me a bit of hope, I've got to admit. It kind of gives me a bit of hope. It kind of gives me a bit of hope that yeah, okay, the system's kind of trained all these like people to be, you know, weak and unrebellious and everything like that. And, you know, there's a lot of things going against us. But there is sort of within certain human beings that sort of sense of righteousness and sense of justice, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like there was this one guy who was a pilot, and he just sort of saw the rise of like anti-Semitism. And then when he hit 25, I think he could have gone home, and he was like, nah, I'm not going to, the job's done. And it was that kind of sentiment, like, I know that I'm probably going to die, but I'm staying this out till the job's done. And it's amazing to sort of watch, like, you know, like my grandfather's fought from the first day of the war to the last day of the war, the British Navy. And it was just that kind of sense of duty. And I like to think that whilst it's not as widespread, that it is, you know, it's still within people. And that's kind of what gives me hope about the future as well, that certain people will stand up and draw a line in the sand and say, look, enough's enough.
I would hope so. But those were very different generations back then. They really valued independence and liberty. And now people value just laziness and TikTok. Yeah. And wanting to be a YouTuber. So different environments create different people, right? Sadly, I think we're in an environment that created a bunch of, you know, weak people. And I blame the boomers primarily.
I don't necessarily blame the boomers.
They fell asleep behind the wheel. They didn't raise their kids. They let them all get fucking brainwashed. They got easy money, all bought. 100% their fault. If they took the time to see what they were being, if their kids were being taught in school.
What if they had hard? It was still difficult for them to afford houses. And they still had their hurdles with work.
Did you see the average salary of a baby boomer and the cost of a house back then? Not to mention, if you put any money in the stock market as a fucking baby boomer, you're probably a damn millionaire now.
Yeah, but that's the same for you and I if we put money in the stock market in 35 years' time. But I mean, the S&P 500 return is huge.
You don't know what's going to happen in 35 years, right?
Well, according to you, I'm going to be fucked.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You don't know. If you were born in the fucking...
I'm going to be living in some dystopian fucking dictatorship. Yeah.
If you were born in like the early 1900s to put your money in the stock market, you were fucked. Baby boomers had nothing but bull runs. Some corrections, but bull runs mostly. Like they
When I did finance at university, they say that it's an average of 12.5% return on a 25-year investment, but you've got to hold it for 25 years. So, but that accounts for massive like jumps, you know. I mean, don't forget they hit huge crashes as well. A lot of them got wiped out by GFC. They had the Black Friday in the 80s crash or whatever it was. They went through a mass. I mean, the recession. That's one thing I will say in Australia. Like this, half the reason why these kids are so woke and just out there stupid is that they've never experienced any financial hardship in their life. You know, because the last one happened in very late 80s, early 90s. And it just decimated the whole entire. At least in Melbourne, it decimated the whole city. You know, my old man did work for years, played golf. I thought he was a golfer. He couldn't do any construction or anything like that. And then I was talking to him about it the other day, and he goes, "Look, I just sat down with your mum. We just decided that education is the most important thing to you and your sister, and we were just prepared to, until the money runs out, just see how long it goes and sell it." So. There's not even that anymore, you know?
But people are
don't worry about education, they'll find themselves.
We are where we are because of the boomers. 100%. Politics is what it is because of boomers.
You have to agree to disagree on the subject, I reckon, man.
Because if you see how politics were before baby boomers, it was way different.
Yeah, it was more.
People actually looked at what was happening and cared. There was even a story in the U.S. where some guys came back from World War II. There was some corrupt guy in Tennessee who was rigging elections. And the soldiers that came back got together, broke into the sheriff's department, took the rigged ballot boxes, and threw the dude in jail. Boomers would never do that. They're too busy. They're getting all their money, sitting on their great Social Security that's going to be running out by the time we're fucking getting older.
They went through the rebellion stage of the Vietnam War, bro.
They were too old. They were too young. They didn't even get drafted.
Baby boomers are my parents' generation. That's like 1950 and it's after World War II.
55 to 64. Korean War, you dodged. Vietnam War, you probably barely made it.
Well, Vietnam War was 65, so yeah. You would
ended
just,
in 64.
Ended in 75, so yeah. Would have just, maybe, wouldn't have got it. Anyway, well, that's an interesting discussion we've had.
We could go into this more on the next one. Do you?
I think so. I think someone's got a bit of a bone to pick with the boomers.
People are people, but I'm just saying they fell asleep behind the wheel and they created the system that let the millennials and everything else get absolutely brainwashed and fucked.
Yeah, they should have stayed up for themselves more. Anyway, here's to the future. Let's hope it gets better. See you, dude.
All right, man. See you, dude. Bye.
Bye.